Good morning and welcome to Jump in Tucson. Happy New Year to you. This is a great way to start the new year. Hello there, Morgan Murphy, my executive assistant. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Dr. Arkley.
Did you have a good holiday and a good couple of trips that you took?
I did. I had a lot of fun.
That's great. Well, it's good to have you back running our company. I make that up that you're running the company, but it sounds good. And hello to Bill Ackerley, who's here with us. Before we get started with our guest today, I just want to remind listeners that we do have a one-year anniversary event coming up in a couple of days on Monday at Union Public House from 5 to 7 p.m. We'll be there with our four guest hosts, Ted Maxwell, Grant Kruger, Tom Moulton, and myself, Christy Simone, Matt Neely will be there. A group of us will be there to celebrate 1 year on the air for Jump in Tucson, a pretty exciting day. Monday's program, we'll have all the guests in the studio, and we'll do a retrospective of our first year and what the next year looks like. Well, this is about success stories, and so we have Ann Pickering with us this morning. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning.
So, Ann, talk about success, 53 years and going strong with the West. That's a pretty powerful legacy here in Tucson. So before we get talking about what the West is and what you do and what the organization is about, let's talk first a little bit about Ann Pickering and just tell me a little bit about yourself and how long you've been in Tucson and your foundations here in the Old Pueblo.
Well, thank you first for having me on the show. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the West. I've been in Tucson about 14 years and been a member of the West for 13 years. I feel very strongly that if you are not working outside your home in a for-profit or paid job, it's nice to be a volunteer. Right. And I've been a volunteer for my entire married life. I've had the opportunity to move around to four different states, and I always find something that's a good niche for me. And I like giving back to the community, so that's why I'm here.
You know, that's what Jump in Tucson is about. It's about the good things that are going on in Tucson and the good work that's being done by organizations and businesses. And of course, on Monday, we talk about good things at the University of Arizona, and we talk about politics and restaurants and attractions, but 53 years with the West, that's a pretty impressive record for a nonprofit in Tucson. So tell us a little bit about the history of the West. First off, there's an acronym. West stands for something, W-E-S-T. It's an acronym.
The Women's Exchange Specialties of Tucson.
Okay, and that came about over time that the name the West came about. But basically, let's talk a little bit about the history 53 years ago and how the organization got started. And then over time, it's transitioned and kind of changed and moved around. It's been in the same place since what you said, 91, I think is what you said. But let's talk a little bit about the history of the West and its beginnings here in Tucson.
Well, the West is a 501c3, and we started in 1968 as a means for funding the Brewster Home, which was a shelter for unwed expectant mothers. The Brewster Home Auxiliary was organized through a pilot project with the Tucson Junior League. And the volunteers started their first shop in Plaza Antigua with funds donated by their founders. Mm-hmm. In 1971, the group made its first financial contribution to the Brewster Home, and they then expanded and in 1976 moved to larger quarters on North Campbell and another location on Swan and Sunrise. And in 1980, the group home closed, the Brewster Home closed, and later became a shelter for victims of family violence.
Mm-hmm. But called the Brewster Center now, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. But we, between 1971 and 1980, we donated $191,000 to the Brewster Home.
That's great.
Yeah, and then in 1981, the Auxiliary elected to become a granting organization with proceeds donated to charitable communities throughout Tucson. So we changed our name officially to the West Inc. at that point mm-hmm. in time.
And so the West now exists as a organization that volunteers coordinate to raise money and give that money to a variety of places, right? But as a grant or a giving charity.
It is.
It's about raising money and then giving it away, right?
It is. It is. I consider us kind of a middleman. We have a granting committee that researches different nonprofits throughout Tucson, and our members nominate different charities to give money to every year.
How many members are involved in the West at
this point? We have about 75 right now. We're always looking for new volunteers to join us. I think at the height, we're probably at about 110 volunteers. And so we're open from Monday through Saturday, 10 to 4, and we work, two people will work a shift, like, you know, 10 to 1 and then 1 to 4.
Are most of the activities then centered on the store, which is located at Craycroft and River Road?
It is.
Is that the majority? Are there any galas or anything that the group does?
No, we don't do that usually. Our store is a retail shop, and we are a gift shop, not a thrift shop. And that's a very important distinction to be made. Absolutely no sales tax because of 501c3, another important distinction. What we don't do a big fundraising event on an annual basis like some nonprofits do.
So yours is more of a retail setting where every day you're bringing in money, and then over the period of a year, you have a collection of money, and then you turn around and your members decide who they're going to give that money to each year.
Exactly. And last year, we gave away just over $100,000.
That's amazing. And all of that is based on the activities of your volunteers in the stores.
Yes.
And that's great. We'll talk, when we come back after the break, we'll talk a little bit about what you sell. But this 501c3 status is important because you're a bona fide nonprofit, and all the money is, as you say, the retail part of it is non-taxable. But it also puts you in a level of being an important place where people can donate, either if they buy something from the store, but also they can make a donation as well and get that tax credit, correct?
They absolutely can. And we appreciate all donations. It's been interesting. The last few years, we've had quite a few requests with women that have been needle workers specifically that have taken classes at our shop and leave something for us in their will. And we are very appreciative of that help, too.
Oh, that's great. That's a great way to do that. They're giving back as they go. They take a class from you, and then they come back and give back to you over time. That's an interesting thing. Well, we're talking with Ann Pickering. She is one of the volunteers and marketing people at The West, which is a beautiful store at Craycroft and River Road. When we come back after the break, Morgan and I are going to ask her some questions about what they offer, what they sell, and how you get there, and what you can do when you go visit the West. You're listening to KVOI 1030 AM The Voice, and this is Jump in Tucson. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson on this wonderful Friday morning in the new year of 2025. We're talking with Ann Pickering, who is a volunteer at the West, which is a wonderful organization up at the River and Craycroft that does good things for the community. You've just handed me a list of all the groups that you gave money to in 2024. So before we go over that list, Morgan, welcome back, and thanks for being here.
Thank you.
You had a question you wanted to ask, Ann?
Yeah. So I know you brought us some fun stuff today, but what are some of the gifts that you sell at the West?
Okay, we have half of the store is a needlework shop.
Okay.
And we have needlepoint, counter cross stitch, felting, all sorts of things. That's how it got started originally. But the other half of the store, gifts, we have amazing hostess gifts, dishes, you name it, we have it. Our buyers work tirelessly to make it an interesting, beautiful setup to come in and look at the store. We have a fantastic selection of greeting cards. Many are local artists, and so I think one of the things we're well known for is our greeting cards, and people will come in the shop and they will head directly to that section, and then of course they get caught up in buying other things.
Right.
Then the center of the store has children's clothing that are handmade, and also books by local artists, puzzles, toys, you name it. So if you're a parent, grandparent, friend of a child, this is the place to shop for your children's things.
That's great. You know, when we talk about needlepoint and so forth, that's how it got started. But this is volunteers making things, and then those things were then offered up for sale years ago. And you've continued that tradition with this as a main focal point of what you offer.
We are the only needlepoint store in Southern Arizona. You know, COVID did a number on a lot of things, and retail was one of them. We were lucky enough to, we closed our doors, but we sold out of the back room. Mm-hmm. And people could call us, order things for specifically needlepoint and counter cross stitch and the stitchery side of the store. And we would hand them bags, and they would hand us a credit card or tell us a credit card number.
That's great.
So we continuously stayed viable through the whole thing.
And one of the other features that you have is you do some classes, right?
We do.
What types of classes do you offer?
We have beginning through intermediate and advanced needlework classes. We have amazing teachers that are members of the West, and they actually are so accomplished that they have won awards at competition in needlework. And we also have somebody that does embroidery classes. So if you're interested in needlework of different types, come check us out.
So we're talking with Ann Pickering from the West, which is a retail store staffed by volunteers at the River Center at River and Craycroft, which is a beautiful setting in and of itself, next to Whole Foods and all the beautiful stores that are up there as you look at those. Again, tell us what the acronym WEST stands for.
Okay, that is Women's Exchange Society of Tucson.
Women's Exchange Society. And we had this conversation. I'm a marketing guy. I've been teaching marketing and advertising at the University of Arizona for almost 35 years now, and we had this conversation that the West may be, it's a great acronym, but it may not describe exactly what the store is. And it's, you need, as you said, the best kept secret in Southern Arizona. We got to spread the word about what the West is. Some might think it's a cowboy store. Some might think it's a saddle shop. Some might think it's a clothing store or whatever. But that's an acronym for
Yeah, Women's Exchange. We definitely need people to come check us out. It's so interesting because when people walk in the store, they'll go, "I never knew you were here."
Right.
And we've been here a long time.
Yeah.
So we have given away over $2.8 million to the Tucson community. So when you shop with us, you are supporting Tucson nonprofits.
Right. Let's mention a couple of these that are available. Morgan, you can tell us the first page there. Tell us some of those organizations.
Aviva's Children's Services, Candlelighters, the Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona, Eagle Wings of Grace, Emerge Center Against Domestic Abuse, and then Eric Height Foundation.
The Eric Height Foundation is near and dear to my heart. That's a first responders organization that was mm-hmm. named after Eric Height and his wife, Naomi, who does mm-hmm. a great job of working with those people. And our friend Alan Michaels is the fundraiser for Children's Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona. And he and Marie, who's the executive director, have been on Jumpin' Tucson, and they're wonderful people. What are some others that we have there?
Yeah, Make Way for Books, Sister Jose Women's Center.
I have to say that Sister Jose, as we were involved in the beginning of that, when I go to a church, and the church was kind of instrumental in getting Sister Jose started and running. And the director emerita is she is a member of our parish, and the current director is a friend of mine from Old Tucson from years ago. And so that also is a great one. Whenever we have extra leftover food from an event, we always take it to Sister Jose's because they can need it. And so we have a couple more.
Tucson Family Food Project, Vail Weekend Backpack Program, Wheels for Kids and Youth on Their Own.
And we have a connection with Youth on Their Own, done some videos for them. That's a pretty impressive list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, math on the air, a dozen organizations just in 2024, but that doesn't, you've touched hundreds of organizations over those 53 years.
Yes, right? We have. And it's quite a variety of organizations, as you can see, For example, Wheels for Kids is 100% nonprofit, and they are all volunteers. They take donated bicycles, refurbish them, give right. them to not just children, but there are adults that need bicycles to get to work or for transportation. Mm-hmm. And when we do our granting process, we look at their needs, mm-hmm. what they're asking for. They usually have a special program that they're asking us money for. They ask for a specific amount of money and what they're going to use it for. But we like to look and see what their expenses are. And we look at their balance sheet. Mm-hmm. We want to know if this is money that's going to be well spent, because we work hard for our money and right. we want to make sure that it's getting used to help the Tucson community.
Right. So we're talking about the West, a retail gift store at Great Crofton River. Ann Pickering is one of the former leaders, current leaders, but also former president, vice president, and helps ambassador for telling the good things about what's going on at the West. So you said about $2.8 million is mm-hmm. what the total has been over those years?
That yeah. we can, you know, we...
It's hard to kind of account for all of it,
exactly.
right?
That's yeah. exactly right. So we...
it could be more than that.
It could be more than that, but yeah. we're happy with that number. We can proudly say that that was an amount that we've given. And, right. and we cherish the opportunity to have charities in our community ask us to help them, and right. We have a very nice relationship with these people.
So if someone wanted to volunteer or mm-hmm. of course obviously come visit the store and buy something, how do they get in touch with you? How do they get in touch with the West?
Okay, come into the shop Monday through Saturday, 10 to 4, and just let them know that you heard this on the radio, or just say, oh, I came in, I've heard about your shop, I wanted to see what you're all about. Come in and shop, ask about volunteering. We will certainly give you information about that, and we'd love to have you check us out.
If somebody is a needle pointer or they have some craft that they're really good at and want to donate that, you would take a look at that too as well as a possible, possibly, right?
Yes. Our needlework buyers are very particular about what we sell in the store, as are all of our buyers. They go to shows throughout the year mm-hmm. all across the country, and we have vendors that come to sell them things. So we've had things donated to us, but they have to be pretty pristine and because we have standards right. that we want to uphold.
Right. So if the DeGrazia Foundation came to you and said, hey, we've got 100,000 note cards that we'd like to give
to you. Oh, I'm sure we would be thrilled to have them.
If my friend yeah. Diana Medeiros came to you and said, here's a bunch of gift cards.
We sell Diana's things yeah. in our shop.
She's amazing. Yeah.
She is amazing. Mm-hmm. I have a picture of hers over my fireplace. And when she came to dinner one night, I said, okay, come in the living room. I got to show you where I hung it.
That's awesome. You know, talking about the greeting card section, we teach at the University of Arizona, our students. What's one of the things we made you do when speakers came in?
Thank you notes. They are, you know, very underrated now. Nobody sends thank you notes. So when you get a good note in the mail, it means a lot.
Yeah. So I teach, I make it a part of their lesson is they have to send physical thank you cards to the speakers that come in and speak. General Ted Maxwell, whoever comes in and speaks to our class, gets, you know, 30, 50, 60 thank you cards in the mail. And it's impressive to them, too, to get kids to give them some cards. So we'll make sure that they all know that the West is
available. We have a large selection of thank you notes and blank cards, and yes, yeah. absolutely.
You know, I'm kind of noted for that. I've been doing that all of my career, and I, you know, sent, there was one that was in the mailbox today on the before I came here. We send tons of thank you notes and just to appreciate people and thank them for what they do in the community. Well, Ann Pickering, we appreciate what you do for the West and for the community, and we hope that our listeners will come out to the West and buy some things, buy some gifts.
Absolutely.
And make 2025 an interesting, beautiful place. And we're going to stop by and take a look at what you have and buy something.
Good. Well, we will welcome you. Yeah. And please come check out the West, and I think you'll be very pleased with what you see.
Okay, so the West is located at River and Craycroft at 5615 East River Road at Craycroft. And the best way to say it probably is the Whole Foods Center there. Everyone knows where the Whole Foods is there. You're kind of just around the sidewalk there on the other end of the center, and you've been there since 1991, which is amazing that has been that long in that one location. So,
yeah.
So we wish you the best of luck. Thank you and your volunteers for all you do for Tucson. We appreciate that you're still plugging away after 53 years.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about the West.
We'll get you back on in 2025 to keep people focused. Well, thank you all. Thank you, Morgan, for being here this morning. And we'll be back after a word from our great sponsors with the second half of the show. This is KVOI 1030 AM The Voice, and you're listening to Jump in Tucson.
Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. Our guest is Hunter Ackerley from CCAP. So, Hunter, good morning, and how are you?
Good morning. Happy New Year. I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Good. What does CCAP stand for?
CCAP stands for Cervical Cancer Awareness and Prevention, and it's CCAP Across the Map is our business, our nonprofit local to Arizona that is focused on cervical cancer awareness and prevention, just as it says in the name.
How long have you been working on this project? When did you get it started, and how long have you been working on it?
Back in 2017, my best friend and business partner, Jillian Lever, and I decided to form this nonprofit organization as a way to work on women's health initiatives and health equity and to stay connected after we graduated high school. So we've been working on it since 2017.
How did you decide to work on cervical cancer as your primary focus with so many other types of cancer available to work on? The Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Awareness Project, colon cancer, skin cancer, all different kinds of cancers. Why did you choose cervical cancer as the focus of your work in this area?
Well, we have a personal connection to working in women's health. For me personally, I've had family members pass away from female-specific cancers. And upon doing some research on how we could kind of best contribute to the area of women's health equity, we discovered that cervical cancer is the fourth most common cancer in the world, but it's also the most preventable cancer in the world. So it's actually almost over 90% preventable with the HPV vaccine and regular cervical cancer screening techniques. So we really wanted to focus our efforts on how we can make access to healthcare resources and education more equitable on a global scale and in our local communities as well.
So you talk about female-specific cancers. Those include breast cancer, ovarian cancer, uterine cancer, and vaginal cancer. And so although you focus in on cervical cancer, it does involve other cancers that you're working on in order to explore ways that you can help mitigate that, right?
Exactly. It's so important in healthcare and health education to kind of take a holistic approach and really understand how things can work together and how people are at greater risk for having another cancer if they've had any of those other cancers that you've mentioned. So, yeah, we really want to take a holistic approach here at CCAP Across the Map when we do education in the community and talk about how people are at risk for higher rates of cancer given that previous exposure in their lives.
And how does one get exposed to anything that might, whether it be a viral or bacterial, or how do they get exposed to cervical cancer? And how does it become? Is it genetic, or is it something that they quote unquote catch, or is it something that how does it come about? And how does the individual contract this form of cancer?
That's a great question. It's actually most commonly related to getting the human papillomavirus. And there are specific types of human papillomavirus, otherwise known as HPV, that lead to cancer in both men and women, actually. So that's why it's so important for people to have knowledge about how to prevent against the HPV virus, HPV. So it's one of those things that, yes, as you mentioned, there is a genetic predisposition and lifestyle factors as well that can contribute to people ending up with cancer, female-specific cancers, male-specific cancers, really just any cancer, but HPV is definitely the leading cause in the case of cervical cancer.
So we're talking about women here, adult women that you're working on, but you also are working on cancer prevention behavior mentorship programs for kids. And so dealing with this kind of messaging to kids, that's a tough message to get out, but it is an important part of the process.
Absolutely. You're so right in that. And yeah, we really want to talk to people young about how to be advocates for their own health. We want to involve families and involve the whole holistic unit of people who are kids themselves or raising kids, and really make sure we spread accurate information about how best to stay healthy and be a good advocate for your own health and knowing signs and symptoms early on, to be aware of when to do screening and engage in preventative measures like the HPV vaccine, for example.
Although this is a local thing, individuals in the United States and in your own hometown would be affected by cervical cancer. It, according to the World Health Organization, globally, cervical cancer affects approximately 660,000 new cases each year, and about 350,000 deaths attributed to the disease annually. So that's a lot, and a lot of those come from, of course, the United States, but also in Sub-Saharan Africa, Central America, and Southeast Asia. And so one of the focuses that you've had with CCAP is to go to some of these countries, Africa and other places, to talk about prevention for women, giving them the information that they need. Can you talk a little bit about how you're using that global approach to spreading the information that's needed?
Absolutely. One of our main focuses is really reaching areas that are underserved and more rural. So what we have done thus far, we've worked in Mexico, Ghana, and Senegal, as well as the United States. And in each area, we have partner organizations, other nonprofits, NGOs, non-governmental organizations that are local to the area and really have a familiarity with what's going on with regard to healthcare and cervical cancer cases. We try to connect with these people and help to just increase what they have access to with education, medical resources, training midwives and community health workers to just really amp up the resources that they do have. Because as you mentioned, yes, in those areas, those under-resourced areas, whether it's a logistics supply issue or an education barrier, they do have disproportionate rates of cervical cancer. So it's important to make sure we're reaching all areas of the community, specifically the ones as well that have those disproportionately high rates.
When you go into these countries in Africa, Mexico, et cetera, are you working with other organizations and other health organizations as well in order for them to help? Once you leave, you're there for a while and then you leave, but are you trying to educate other groups that are working with you on this project?
Yeah, so our method and kind of way of distributing this education thus far has been to connect with those non-governmental or those nonprofit organizations that are already doing work on the ground and familiar with the communities as a way to understand the needs of the community and really make sure what we are offering and the education and resources we bring to the table are needed and necessary and can be helpful in these places that we visited. And in addition to that, we'll work with community health workers or midwives in the area. So we're also helping to train the people who are on the ground delivering healthcare measures every day in these more rural areas. And we also try to reach out to government officials, whether they're more local or larger scale, to explain the work we're doing, doing press releases, getting the word out there, and allowing people to hear about the events and come for screenings or educational opportunities.
What does a screening involve when you bring somebody, say, in Africa, and you deliver this message to them, and then you do a screening? Is it with a health provider? Is it they do it themselves? Or how does it all work? How do you transmit that information so that the screening can take place?
Yeah, so we've partnered with trained professionals, nurses, midwives, and we've provided the resources to offer free community screenings where they do visual inspection using acetic acid, which is a way to test for precancerous lesions. It's like a pre-test precursor to what you may have heard as the pap smear for testing for female-specific cancers, notably cervical cancer. So we go into the areas, we offer the help for people to just essentially set up these screening opportunities in local rural areas.
Great. We're talking with Hunter Ackley from CCAP Across the Map. We'll go take a break and hear from some of our great sponsors, and we'll come back and talk about an event they have coming up in a couple of days. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. Our guest is Hunter Ackerley from CCAP. Good morning again, and Happy New Year, Hunter.
Good morning.
So again, tell us what CCAP stands for.
CCAP Across the Map is a nonprofit organization that works locally in Tucson and globally. And that first part of the name, CCAP, CCAP, stands for Cervical Cancer Awareness and Prevention.
And you started this a couple of years ago, and in that time, you've had a couple of fundraisers to help you raise some money to get you to a couple of trips that you've taken to Africa and Mexico, and hopes of going back to Africa soon. So you have an event coming up on Saturday, January 11th. It's a bowl-a-thon. Tell us a little bit about what the bowl-a-thon is going to do on January 11th.
Yes, well, January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, so we're trying to engage with our community, working with Coaches for Charity and hosting a bowl-a-thon to spread the word about cervical cancer awareness and prevention, where people can come for some bowling fun, a silent auction, a 50-50 raffle, and help to support our efforts with cervical cancer awareness and prevention.
And this event will take place at the Lucky Strike Bowl on East Speedway, and people can reserve a lane and get up to six people from a family, a bunch of friends, or an organization, or even a business to sponsor a lane and come out and participate. And some of the prizes you have are pretty exciting. You've got a nice silent auction going on. Can you talk about what kind of prizes are available for that bowl-a-thon?
Yeah, we've got some exciting items and activities people can bid on. We've got, I know of a purse, I know of some jewelry, some interesting things and items that are unique that I am excited for people to get the chance to see and really kind of, you know, go out and see what other things there are to bid on that are connected to the Tucson and the local community.
We have Lucky Strike Bowl, who partners with us in this and gives us the lanes and gives us the opportunity for Coaches for Charity to sponsor this. It is a fun event, and it brings a group of people from the community together to raise funds. And so from this bowl-a-thon, the funds that are raised, you're hoping to perhaps go back to Africa, correct?
That is correct. We always want to have ongoing relationships in the areas we've done work previously. So we're hoping to go back to Ghana and Senegal and then make some new connections in some new countries, Kenya and Nigeria, as the upcoming events that we're hoping to go out and host educational events and screenings for in the upcoming year.
How long are those trips when you go to Ghana or Senegal? How long are those trips? Are they a week, a couple of days, or a month, or how long do you spend there?
Yeah, so we have historically spent a week in each country hosting week-long seminars, and we'll do like educational seminars in the morning, screening events in the afternoon, kind of a mix of whatever is working best for the community and their needs, but usually about a week in each country.
We're talking with Hunter Ackerley from CCAP about cervical cancer awareness around the globe. I'm a marketing guy, as you know, and how do you get the people to be aware that you're in the country, that you're there for a week or so, and that they should come in and learn more about cervical cancer prevention and learn about the testing and so forth? How do you get them to the events, and how do you go out and find them, or do they come to you in those particular countries?
Well, it can be different per each country that we have worked with, but with Ghana and Senegal and Mexico, we have a few different ways that we've done it. Specifically with Mexico, we partnered with a host organization that hosted medical kind of like educational seminars for community health workers. And we were able to tag along and add on some education about HPV and cervical cancer awareness when we first went. Since then, we've gone back and worked with local grade schools to teach younger kids about HPV awareness and how to stay healthy and look out for signs and symptoms of the cancers related to HPV for later on in their life. With Ghana and Senegal, we've partnered with those local nonprofit organizations and NGOs, and we're able to connect with them and then through them to the network of healthcare workers and community health workers and midwives that work locally at local clinics in more rural areas in those countries.
It's obvious that you can't save all 300,000 plus people who contract cervical cancer and pass away each year. But obviously, this prevention program makes a difference in individual women's lives and their families. And so I'm sure it's a very rewarding thing. Did you ever think in your life that you would become a cervical cancer expert and be talking about this with people in Africa and Mexico and other countries and providing this type of information? It's kind of overwhelming to think about that this is what you're doing.
Yeah, it's amazing where life takes you. I'm really honored and just really grateful for the opportunity, especially on a global scale, that I've gotten to have through this experience and really just understanding healthcare on a global scale, global healthcare systems, and getting to know different and diverse people and really making connections around the world for a greater good and really just hoping to improve people's lives and improve their understanding of cervical cancer as well as treatment outcomes and just the fact that it is entirely preventable in most cases for contracting cervical cancer or even HPV. So it's just been a really great, awesome, life-changing opportunity that has allowed us to connect with community members and actually affect and save some lives and help people understand that they might be at risk and when to go and seek for further screening or just treatment.
And so what does the future look like? Of course, you want to go back to Africa, but in the next 5 years or so, what does CCAP hope to do? What are you hoping to do in terms of building this awareness and building the program, both in our communities, locally and nationally, but also globally?
Well, CCAP across the map right now itself is made up of 30 unpaid volunteers who are dedicated to the cause. We have also created an internship program for high school age students to come and learn about how to run a nonprofit business and how to engage with health education. Personally, I'm in my master's program for becoming a mental health therapist, and my co-founder and business partner and best friend, Jillian Lever, she's in medical school. So we are both on track to continue to just dive deeper into our careers and connect that back to the work that CCAP Across the Map is doing, again, through that holistic lens and making sure we're really looking at people holistically and treating them at all levels and educating people at all levels and making sure we're there to support the community.
If someone wanted to support CCAP Across the Map and get involved in your program, how could they get in touch with you?
The best way to get in touch with us is usually through our social media, our Instagram and Facebook, both our CCAP Across the Map, as well as our website, ccapglobal.org. We are always active on there, responsive to people. That's oftentimes how we find some of our connections that have turned into global education initiatives. So very responsive there. We're always willing to take on new volunteers, and we can always use donations to continue to fund these efforts. And of course, participating in our awesome yearly fundraisers like the Bowl-a-thon.
That's great. So you talk about, getting your master's degree in mental health and that area. This is an important part of the Cervical Cancer Awareness Program, is making sure that people have good mental health as they approach their overall holistic health of their entire life, right?
Exactly. And we even have an educational branch under our whole educational platform that is dedicated to community support effort for people facing cancer diagnosis or family members or friends who know someone facing a cancer diagnosis. And we've delivered kind of hands-on educational experiential learning with midwives and community health workers who have learned about how to hold those community support groups in their specific communities.
So if someone knows somebody, like you said, you know, it was personal for you. If somebody knows somebody who has contracted cervical cancer, or someone would like to learn more about it, they can contact you and you can help refer them to the appropriate place to get them some help in their struggle with trying to figure out what to do with cervical cancer, correct?
Absolutely. We're very connected with the local community and continue to form those connections on a global scale. So absolutely. If anybody wants to reach out, we would love to hear from you.
Great. So the Coaches for Charity sponsored Bowl-a-thon for CCAP Across the Map Cervical Cancer Awareness and Prevention Program will take place Saturday, January 11th, starting at 10 a.m. at Lucky Strike Bowl. Companies and families and groups of friends can get together and get a group of six people, four to six people, and then have a great day of bowling. And it's a morning. They'll be through by 12:30, 1 o'clock at the latest. There's bowling. There's obviously refreshments. And then there's a beautiful silent auction. And raise some money for trips coming up, hopefully to Africa again, to go back and work with the groups that you've worked with and to share your... So thank you for the good work that you do with CCAP and traveling around the world. You're becoming a world traveler doing this and getting a lot of experience. And congratulations to you and Jill on the good work that you're doing for CCAP.
Thank you so much. And thank you again for always being willing to have me on the show and jump in Tucson and helping to continue to sponsor and support our efforts with CCAP Across the Map.
Well, thank you. And again, the website address so people can get involved with your organization is?
It's ccapglobal.org, so that's ccapglobal.org.
And if they want to sign up for the Bowl-a-thon, they can go to coachesforcharity.org and fill out the form there, and they can get a foursome for the, or a six groups, up to 4 to 6 people for the Bowl-a-thon. Thank you again, Hunter Ackerley, the COO and one of the founders of CCAP, Cervical Cancer Awareness Prevention Across the Map. Thank you for the good work that you do. If you'd like to be interviewed on Jump in Tucson and share your success story, go to jumpintucson.com and let us know a little about you. And who knows, maybe your organization or your good successes will be part of an interview live on the air. Jump in Tucson is produced and directed by Ackerley Advertising. William Ackerley is the executive producer. Matt Neely produces the show in the booth. Morgan Murphy is my executive assistant. Hunter Ackerley schedules our guests for us, ironically that she's a guest here today. And the program broadcasts from Bustos Media Studios and KVOI 1030 AM Radio. Again, if you're interested in helping CCAP Across the Map with their Bowl-a-thon, that is this coming January 11th, Saturday, January 11th, from 10 a.m. to about noon at Lucky Strike Bowl, and they could use your help. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you will jump in Tucson.